This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وقال تعالى اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, especially the honorable my ustad, although not directly but in terms of what I've learned from him, Hazrat Maulana Abbas Ali Zubair Ali, ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever we speak about the seerah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, few things that we have to put on record. One is we can never do justice to praise. Our vocabulary, our eloquence can never match the excellence and the greatness of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Neither can I do justice in speaking, and neither can you do justice in listening about our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is beyond and very much and far more greater than our eloquence or what we can say. And Ya Rasulullah, we say that our inability to find the right words and the eloquence to describe your greatness does not take away from your greatness. That is one of the things. And Junaid Jamshed used to say this beautiful nazam, tutsa koi nahi, there is no one like you, there is no one like you. Dil ko himmat nahi, lab ko yara nahi, tutsa koi nahi, tutsa koi nahi. The heart does not have the capacity, the tongue does not have the eloquence to be able to describe you, there is no one like you, there is no one like you. Ay abad ke haseen, ay azal ke haseen, tutsa koi nahi, tutsa koi nahi. You are beautiful from inception and you are beautiful for eternity. There is no one like you, there is no one like you. That is one of the things that we always start off any seerah program with. The second thing is, while Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very great beyond what we can express, we must keep one thing in mind, that we never mystify the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the extent that we don't take benefit from the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After all, Allah Ta'ala had said, لَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ غُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the Prophet of Almighty Allah, you have a most perfect example. And everything of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an example. There is no aspect. You can take any aspect of the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is an example. You can take the birth, you can take the death, you can take the journey, you can take the battles, you can take his family life, you can take his social life, you can take any aspect of the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is full of wisdom, full of lessons how we can live our life. And there is a reason why Allah Ta'ala put different conditions upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was not only one type of conditions. Why different conditions came upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Sometimes there was victory, sometimes there was setbacks. Sometimes there were happiness and joy, and sometimes there was sadness. Sometimes there was a great amount of interaction. Sometimes there was, you know, like in the cave of Hira, solitude. Different conditions came upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life, so that we will be able to identify, depending on our situation, upon the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today we have chosen, and the topic that has been given is the farewell Hajj of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every aspect of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is full of blessing. The Urdu poet had said, "Madine ke daro diwar aur bazaar acche hai." Madina ki dar aur diwar aur bazaar acche hain. Even the walls and the buildings of Medina and even the bazaars of Medina are very beautiful. Gulo ke to kya kehne hai? Gulo ke to hai kya kehne? Wahan ke khar bhi acche hain. Never mind the beautiful flowers or the roses. Even the thorns of Medina are beautiful. So every aspect of the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is full of beauty, full of grace, full of elegance, and full of lessons. Now when we look at the aspect of the Hajj of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, collective a'mal and collective ibadat became farz in Medina and Munawwara. So in Makkah Mukarramah, the first 13 years of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, it was mostly individual ibadat. Right? And you find that all collective a'mal came compulsory after Medina, in the time of Medina after Hijrah. And similarly with regard to Hajj, out of the five pillars, Hajj was the one that came for us right last. And there was reasons for that. One of the reasons ulama have also made mention, it is not the sole reason, that the calendars used to be so mixed up. The Jahiliyyah, the people of Jahiliyyah, they had this amazing thing that they used to, because there were certain months that they couldn't fight. So they used to mix up the months. Whenever they were in the mood of saying fighting, they would say, all right, this is the sacred months, let us change it, let us do this and that. So the months were not in accordance with the calendar and the system of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was only towards the end of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life that the system came in conjunction with the original calendar. So in the ninth year after Hijri, the Hajj became farz. So when Hajj became farz, the first Hajj, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu as the Amir of the Hajj, to be the Amir of the Hajj, in the ninth year after Hijri. When Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu left with the Sahaba to go and perform Hajj, by the instruction of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah ta'ala revealed the ayat, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, innama al-mushrikuna najas. فلا يقرب المسجد الحرام بعد عامهم هذا. O believers, the mushrikeen are najas, they are spiritually unclean. So they should not come near the Masjid al-Haram after this year. This ayat was revealed after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu left for Hajj. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Ali radiallahu anhu and said, O Ali, go and join the kafla, go and join the people who are gone for Hajj, and you make the announcement about this, that after this year, no mushrikeen would be allowed to come for Hajj. So when Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu joined Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, look at the beautiful quality of the Sahaba, how they interacted with one another. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu first asked him, O Ali, what did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam send you? Did he send you to become the Amir? I will forfeit the Imarat, you become the Amir. No fighting for power. Abu Bakr told Hazrat Ali, if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made you the Amir from now onwards, you become the Amir, I will leave it. Ali radiallahu anhu said, no. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you must remain the Amir. He only gave me the responsibility of making the announcement in Hajj about what the ayat says. Now the reason for this was that the Quraysh, the Bani Hashim, were the people who looked after the Hujjaj. They were the ones who used to give water to the Hujjaj. So it was appropriate that this announcement come from Bani Hashim. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Ali radiallahu anhu to make this announcement. So that was the first year in which Hajj became farz, in the ninth year after Hijri. In the tenth year after Hijri, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam now decides to go for Hajj. It was the only Hajj that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed in his life. By the 10th year after Hijri, a society was formed that was the best of humanity. And they had become completely united under the leadership of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt it was an appropriate time for me to take the entire ummah and go for Hajj. Because there were going to be many spiritual benefits. One of the benefits was to meet Muslims from far and wide. Now bear in mind, by that time, by the 10th year after Hijri, many different tribes have become Muslims. Those who had become, وَرَعِيتَ النَّاسَ يَلْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجَ, you will see tribes and tribes coming into Islam. So many tribes had come into Islam from far and wide, the entire Arabian Peninsula. Nabi Karim Sallallahu felt in Hajj, I would be able to gather each and every one of them together. Also, Nabi Karim Sallallahu sensed he was coming to the end of his life. And Nabi Sallallahu knew about this. Therefore, when Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala was, you know, people of Yemen asked Nabi Sallallahu to send someone, Nabi Sallallahu sent Hazrat Mu'adh, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu, as he was going, Nabi Karim Sallallahu gave him advices. And some of the advisors are so beautiful. One of the advisors I made mention of in today's Jummah. O Mu'adh, do things sincerely for the sake of Allah. Yukfika al-amalul qaleel. If you do things solely and sincerely for Allah, even little bit will suffice for you. But if you don't have sincerity, you can have a mountain full of good deeds. It will not be to your benefit. Huh? Do things solely for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In there, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, maybe next time you come, you will be able to come to my masjid and my qabr. You will not come and see me. فَبَكَى مُعَاذ خَسَفَ لِفِرَاقِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. When Mu'adh radiallahu anhu heard this, he wept. Because there was nothing more painful for the Sahaba than to feel and to think that they are not going to see Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he heard this, he started crying. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Mu'adh, don't cry. إن أول الناس بي المتقون حيث كانوا وأينما كانوا وإنما كانوا أو كما قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. O Mu'adh, don't cry. The closest people to me would be those who follow me and who have taqwa, no matter when they come and no matter where they are. So Nabi Karim صلى الله عليه وسلم had already given indications that he's going to leave this world. So therefore, this Hajj is known as Hajjatul Wida, the farewell Hajj of our beloved Nabi Karim صلى الله عليه وسلم. Also, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to announce and to trample upon vestiges of Jahiliyyat. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to, certain things of Jahiliyyat that had taken, you know, had become common. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to trample upon it, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to eradicate that from the life of the Muslims. So these were some of the reasons, amongst many other reasons. So when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left Medina Munawwara on the 26th of Dhul Qa'dah, it was Saturday, the 26th of Dhul Qa'dah, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam left Medina Munawwara for this epic and very great journey. 26th of Dhul Qa'dah, Saturday. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam's first stop was Dhul Hulayfa, what we know as Bir Ali, and today of course we know it is a place where the taxis stop for you to put on your ihram, or if your ihram you got on, you can read your two rakat salat. And anyone who has been for Umrah would be able to identify with us. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped there. He came there just before Asr. 40,000 Sahaba were with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he left Medina Munawwara. This, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went and the people joined Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, eventually, when he came to Makkah Mukarramah for the Hajj, it was 124,000. But it started off with 40,000. When our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached Dhul Hulayfa, that particular night Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent in Dhul Hulayfa. Now mention is made in the books of Hadith. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mu'ana Zakaria sahab rahmatullah alayhi, has written a kitab on the Hajjatul Wida of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very, very interesting kitab. Now in this, as the Shaykh Muhammad Ali writes, on that particular night, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was intimate with all of his wives. Now that tells you the strength of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It also tells you what the ulama have said, that before wearing ihram, for you to be intimate, and the reason for this is not for the sake of lust, etc., but so that your mind is not distracted with thoughts of lust and thoughts of desire. And of course, when you do have the desire, then why should you fulfill your desire or think about fulfilling your desire with anyone else other than your halal and lawfully wedded spouse? You would recall in Mi'raj we speak about how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was shown about certain a'mal and the consequences. And one of the things that we see in Mi'raj, one of the aspects that is told to us in Mi'raj, that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw a person, and he was shown a person who was forced to eat rotten and food that was full of odor, full of smell, that he couldn't take it, and the person was forced to eat it, while next to him there was most beautiful, aromatic, beautiful food. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Oh Jibreel, what is the reality with regard to this?" And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was told that this is the example of those people in the Ummah who are in nikah with women, but instead of fulfilling their desires with a lawfully wedded spouse, they go and fulfill their desires with someone outside nikah. That example of that woman outside nikah is like, you know, food that is smelly, and your lawfully wedded wife is like that particular food that is full of aroma and full of taste. But sometimes we don't look at it that way, unfortunately. And so this was what our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. Then the next morning, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put on his ihram. And in his ihram, he combined Hajj and Umrah in one ihram. And he said, "I am combining Hajj and Umrah by the command of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam." And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, "Hajj and Umrah has been combined till the day of Qiyamah." That is why the two forms of Hajj, Tamattu and Qiran, has got two Hajj and Umrah in one journey. I don't want to go into the whole particular aspect of the fiqhi difference, whether that particular aspect is a reward according to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, or is it a disadvantage, but it's something that is there. But the Hajj and Umrah was in one ihram. And the ulama have said, out of the three methods of Hajj, Qiran, Tamattu and Ifrad, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wore the ihram of Qiran, joining Hajj and Umrah in one ihram. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was also told by Hazrat Jibreel that this is a blessed valley. The valley of Aqib is a blessed valley, and it has been blessed from the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he wore his ihram, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha put upon him, on his ihram, a fragrance which was known as Dharira, from a plant known as Dharira. So when the people saw Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's ihram, they could see the fragrance on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's ihram. That particular fragrance was shown upon the ihram of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the ulama have made mention with regard to ihram, you can put on fragrance before the ihram, even if the smell lingers on, but you are not allowed to put smell or fragrance after the ihram. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala put very heavy, that Dharira fragrance, which couldn't be seen upon the ihram of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left. Hazrat Asma binti Umais, the wife of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha, in Dhul Hulayfa, at that particular time gave birth to Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. Muhammad bin Abi Bakr was going to become a very influential person in the history of Islam. We don't have the time to make mention of that. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave her appropriate instructions of what to do at that time. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went, and the second stop, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped in Rawha. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, 70 Anbiya stopped at this particular place in Rawha. 70 Anbiya stopped in Rawha. In fact, there is a well that is still there in Rawha, known as Bire Rawha. And several years back when we went for Umrah, we told the taxi that we want to stop in Bire Rawha. Now it is very dilapidated, and the only thing that is left, they put at the end of a rope, there was a small 2 liter cold drink bottle. So we found it very difficult to take out the water, but we stayed there for some time, because great amount of virtue is also made with regard to drinking from that water, from the well of Bire Rawha. So the second stop that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made was in Rawha. Rawha is also the place, historians narrate, that where the the decision was taken to take part in the Battle of Badr. It was in Roha. And at this particular time, or maybe in one of the stops, an interesting incident takes place. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is given game meat, himare washi. Now, I'm not sure if the right translation of himare washi would be the zebra or something like that. Something that was from a meat that was hunted. Now, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was given twice game meat while he was in Ihram going towards Hajjatul Wida. On one occasion, he ate it, and on one occasion, he didn't eat it. So the ulama said, why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam eat it one time and one time he didn't eat it? Then they said that one time he ate it was that the person who hunted it, he did not have his ihram on. He was not in the state of ihram. So if a person hunts something that is not in a state of ihram, it is permissible for the person who is in ihram to eat it and to consume it. But the second time Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a doubt that the person was in ihram, when? And maybe he didn't know the masla at that time. He didn't know the verdict. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not partake from that. So then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped in Roha. The third stop was in Ithaya, a place called Ithaya. And the fourth stop was in a place called Al-Araj. Now between these places, I'm not sure exactly because there were many incidents that took place and we're not sure with regard to exactly, but more or less at this particular time it took Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 8 days. So there were 8 stops that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did between Medina and Mecca. So the third stop was Ithaya, the fourth stop was Al-Araj. Now at that time, amazing thing happened. Something very amazing. That Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had given his luggage to Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr had a slave person who had taken the luggage and put it on one camel. So he put the camel and the luggage on one camel, and Abu Bakr told him, you look after this luggage, it is mine, and more than mine is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's luggage and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's possession. And when they came to one of their stops, this particular camel and this luggage was lost. Couldn't find it. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala became extremely angry with the slave and with this person. I gave you the responsibility of looking after the luggage, and I gave you the responsibility of looking after the possession. You couldn't even do it. Now he became angry more, not for himself, but for the convenience of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I always tell people, brothers, this aspect of difficulty and Hajj is from the very inception. Don't come in. So sometimes we get so perturbed with regard to it, and then we swear the travel agent. These things have happened from the very inception. Luggage lost. They say a person was going on in a journey and he came to check in. So at the check-in, he tell the person who was busy checking him, he said, I've got 3 bags. I want one bag to go to London, one bag to go to New York, and one bag to go to Hong Kong. So the person in the check-in counter said, what are you, where are you going? What do you want? 3 bags to go to 3 different destinations. So he said, last time I traveled, you did the same thing. Why can't you do it now? So last time you lost my bags. One went to New York, one went to London, one went to Hong Kong. Why can't you do it now? So lost luggage in travel is something that... Now, it's narrated in the riwayat that... Now, just look at this. We must learn from these lessons. So when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's luggage came, lost, Fudala Aslami radiallahu ta'anhu brought a whole camel. Ya Rasulullah, this is my possession. Whatever you want from here, take it, Ya Rasulullah. Your luggage and your possessions is lost. Whatever you want from here, take it. Now, this is what actually we are supposed to do. Today, what we do, unfortunately, when someone is in a problem and in difficulty, we put it in social media. We don't go out and say, how can I help you in your difficulty? What can I do to make your difficulty easy? Brothers, we had such a wonderful opportunity in this past year, which we wasted. We wasted by getting involved in futile arguments in which there was difference of opinion on the ulama, and we spent most of our time there. We didn't use it as an opportunity to come to the assistance of people who were in difficulty. Yet Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in a hadith, whoever consoles and bereaves a person who is in need of bereavement, Allah will make him wear clothes of honor on the day of Qiyamah. How many opportunities there were in this last year? We know about people who had lost near and dear ones. Whatever the reasons, whether you believe in it or not, people had lost. And we've seen how many people have died in our community. Right? And we've seen so many deaths. We see people in some families had lost so many people in one family. We had an opportunity to be able to show concern, to be able to go and bereave and show sympathy and get that reward that Allah will give you clothes of honor on the day of Qiyamah. But we lost it because half the time we were fighting with one another. So here Fudhala Aslami radiallahu ta'ala came and said, Ya Rasulullah, your luggage is lost. Take from here whatever you want. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thanked him. And then amazing, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was busy eating and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was so upset that he did not even want to partake in the meal because he was still upset with the person he had given the responsibility to look after the luggage. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Abu Bakr, why do you get angry over something that is not in your control? Subhanallah, what a great lesson. Don't get angry over something that is not in your control. If your flight is delayed, what's the use of getting angry? It's not in your control. Now you're going to swear the entire, you swear it in the person in the check-in counter, you swearing the people who are, the people of the airlines, it's not in their control. The flight is delayed. Something beyond your control. Sometimes anything that happens that is beyond your control, don't get angry with regard to it. And when Fuzala came forward and presented it, by that time, somehow or the other, that luggage was found. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found that luggage. So this was actually what had happened in one of the stages of the journey. Another interesting incident that happened was that of Anjasha. Now Anjasha was someone who was a master in taking the camels. He used to sing poetry in such a poetic form and such a rhythmic form with such a beautiful voice that the camels used to follow him. And he used to be in such a way that the camels used to race because of what he used to sing. So he used to take, and he was in charge of the camels of the wives of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was a very interesting. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was taking the camels, and the camels were running very fast, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Anjasha. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wayhaka ya Anjasha, ruwaydaka bil qawarir. What a beautiful description. Oh Anjasha, be careful. Be careful with the women. Bil qawarir. These are like very expensive vessels, like glass vessels. Now, you know, you find crystal glasses and you find this very, very expensive glass. And you say like, listen, this is very, very sensitive. Don't take it too hard. Don't let it drop because it will break. It will break because the glass is so sensitive. Yes, it is so expensive. Now, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the example of woman to that. They are so sensitive, they are so valuable, they are so sensitive. Be very, very careful, O Anjasha, the way you treat and the way you make the camels move. Don't make it go so fast. You have women upon those camels. Be careful, O Anjasha, the way you lead those camels, because the women are the conveyance. They are the ones who are sitting upon the camels. So this also what Nabi Karim said. Then another aspect that happens is that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one of the stops, now after the four stops we said, Zul Hulayfa, Rawha, Ithaya, Al-Araj, the fifth stop is Abwa. Now Abwa is a very interesting place. So in Abwa, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stops, it was at this place that the camel of Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha broke down. So that camel could not go ahead. That camel broke down. So Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, started crying. She said, Ya Rasulullah, what's going to happen? I want to join you, and now the camel broke down right here in the middle of me going for Hajj. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in a tent, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiped her tears off and said, don't worry, I will take care of your situation. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiped her tears away. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, wear an extra camel. Why don't you make one of your camels available to Safiya because you got an extra camel? For some reason she was not in agreement with that. And it hurt Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Therefore, it is said that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not speak to her for the entire journey. But then Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made another arrangement for another camel. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made arrangement for a camel of Safiya. Now, Safiya radiallahu ta'ala, if you know your history, she comes from a Jewish background. Right? Now, these are type of things that we are supposed to learn. It's not only knowing about what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, it is a lesson. So, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took extra care to make her feel part of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's family. So, one day she came to complain and said, Ya Rasulullah, the other wives of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are taunting me that because I'm not an Arab, I don't have the same value and the same love that you have for me the way you have for them others, for the others. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, amazing thing, he said, next time they taunt you, go and tell them, don't taunt me. My great-grandfather was Musa and Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. My husband is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Don't taunt me. Who are you to taunt me? My great-grandfather was also Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And my husband is also a Nabi. You don't have that particular virtue. I normally tell people, really, that's the lesson. If you are bringing a wife from another background. Now today we don't have that particular situation. By and large, people have got marriage in different gams and different villages. Once upon a time was a big thing. You have to get married to your same village. If you had to get married into another village, it was like a janaza in the house. Especially for the old people, it was like a janaza. But if you have to bring someone from another background, and if ever your family were to abuse her with regard to her background, do what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. Make her feel comfortable. Give her the confidence. Don't leave her to the other family members to make her feel that she must be taunted in such a way. This is the sunnah. This is what we are supposed to learn in Sirah. Not only talk about the incidents. What did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do with regard to Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala? Then, I'm not sure if it is in this journey or the other journey, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala had a backache. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, took a shawl and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made it into a small ball and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted her onto the camel. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam placed the shawl behind her back and said, keep the shawl behind your back. It will help you in your backache. Today, if a husband has to do all of this, we will say bailoche. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did all this. We make jokes with regard to this. They say whenever you see a husband opening the car for his wife, you must know that the car is new. He's not doing it for the sake of that wife. He's supposed to do it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted her because her back was paining. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a small ball of a shawl and put it behind the back to be able to assist her with regard to her backache. Now this is what happened in this particular. In Abwa, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is the fifth stop. When Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped in Abwa, Abwa is a very, because here where Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother passed away. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was 6 years of age. And alone with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ayman, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother. And in Abwa, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother passed away. Can you imagine what a difficult time for a six-year-old child that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had gone to Medina. And one of the reasons with regard to going to Medina, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's father passed away, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother had gone for the same reason to pay, you know, to go in that particular regard. And on the way back, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother passed away in Abwa. And at the same place, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made one of his stops during the journey of Hajjatul Wida. Then in the sixth stop, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped at Usfan. In Usfan, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, Hazrat Hud alayhi salatu wasalam made talbiyah and he recited labbaik Allahumma labbaik from this particular place. And it was at this place that Suraqa bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, teach us the masail of Hajj. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam showed the Sahaba how to perform Hajj in Usfan. Usfan was the sixth stop. Then in Sarif, Sarif was the seventh stop. Now in Sarif, Sarif is so amazing place. Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not in this journey, in one of the other journeys, she was amongst the very amazing woman, and today when you go, sometimes the taxis tell you, there is a place where Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha's qabr is. This woman is amazing in the sense that her nikah took place in the same place. Al-wida from for the sake of marriage took place in the same place, and she is buried in the same place. Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha's amazing thing with regard to Sarif. Sarif is where a nikah took place when Nabi Akram s.a.w. was going for one of his journey. I think it was Umratul Qadha. And then Nabi Akram s.a.w. on his way back, Nabi Akram s.a.w. consummated the marriage. And then Nabi Akram s.a.w. after a while, Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha, in one of her journeys, passed away in the same place. And it was in Sarif that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha got her monthly menses. And she started crying. Ya Rasulullah, this is once in a lifetime journey. I have come for Hajj with you. I wanted to bear and see the benefits with regard to it. And now I have got this. Ya Rasulullah, and she started crying. Nabi SAW was so practical. Ya Allah, if only we could have this example. Nabi SAW said, Bashira wa la tunaffira. Make people, bring people together. Don't make them feel, you know, hatred for religion. Make things easy. Don't make things difficult. Nabi Akram SAW said, Aisha, this is what Allah Ta'ala has created woman with. It's nothing of your fault. It is nothing that is something that is wrong with you. It comes from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bear with it. It comes from Almighty Allah. And then Nabi Akram s.a.w. consoled Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and said, don't worry. Do this and this. This is how you are supposed to make your entire Hajj. Do it in this particular manner. So Nabi Akram s.a.w. gave her comfort, and this happened in Sarif. Thereafter, in the Tuwa, the eighth night, Nabi Akram s.a.w. stayed in Dhi-Tuwa. Dhi-Tuwa was just outside Makkah Mukarramah. Now Nabi Akram s.a.w. had come to Makkah Mukarramah, just outside Makkah Mukarramah. And this was the pattern of Nabi Akram s.a.w. whenever he used to travel, the last stop was almost few kilometers away from the destination. So Dhi-Tuwa is just few kilometers outside Makkah Mukarramah when Nabi Akram s.a.w. stopped. And then on the 4th of Zulhijjah, a Sunday, Nabi Akram s.a.w. entered Makkah. Now just keep in mind, look at the situation. He left on Saturday, count the eight nights from there, and Sunday morning at the time of chast, Nabi Akram s.a.w. enters into Makkah on the eighth day of his journey. Or is it the ninth day? I'm not sure. Anyway, you look at Saturday to Saturday, and then the Sunday, Nabi Akram s.a.w. He comes into Makkah Mukarramah in mid-morning, and Nabi Akram s.a.w. makes his Umrah. Now Nabi Akram s.a.w. was a Qarin, and Nabi Akram s.a.w. had also bought animals to be slaughtered in Makkah Mukarramah as part of his Hajj. So when Nabi Akram s.a.w. completed the Umrah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that in fact there is a very amazing incident that Nabi Akram s.a.w. while kissing the Hajr Aswad, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood there and he cried. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, this is a stone. You know, it cannot benefit, it cannot harm. And Nabi Akram s.a.w. said, Umar, I know, but this is a place where tears are supposed to be shed. And Umar radiallahu anhu used to say that one of the reasons we kiss the Hajr Aswad is not that we believe that it can benefit or harm, but I saw Nabi s.a.w. do it, therefore I do it. In emulation of the sunnah of Nabi Akram s.a.w. Nabi Akram s.a.w., most of the aspects of Hajj, Nabi Akram s.a.w. did it on the camel. So even when Nabi Akram s.a.w. was going between Safa and Marwa, Nabi s.a.w. did it on the camel. Why? Because there were 124,000 people with Nabi Akram s.a.w. Nabi s.a.w. did it on the camel so everyone could see Nabi s.a.w. what is he doing? As a ta'aleem. So when Nabi Akram s.a.w. finished, Nabi s.a.w. stayed in a place which was Ba'ath. On the higher portion of Makkah Mukarramah, Nabi s.a.w. stayed between the 4th of Zulhijjah till the 8th of Zulhijjah. Now this was a very interesting thing. Nabi Akram s.a.w. told the people who did not bring animals to slaughter, you take out your ihram. Now this was there, Nabi s.a.w. told them to make tamattu. Now just bear in mind, Nabi s.a.w. is doing all of these things because of the ease of the ummah. Now we look at South Africans, 90% we all look to a tamattu, if not more than 90%. Now Nabi Akram s.a.w. did this taking into account. You make tamattu, take out your ihram, and then you will wear your ihram again on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. Now Allah Ta'ala, because of that, Allah Ta'ala made it easy for South African Hujjaj. If Nabi s.a.w. would have told all the Sahaba to stay with ihram from that time till the end, what would have happened? We would have been able to do so. We would have found it very difficult. So all this is to take into account the ease for the Muslim Ummah. So some Sahaba found very great discomfort with regard to it. Why they found discomfort? They told us, Ya Rasulullah, you're telling us to take away haram. Now we are like normal people. And I'm just relating what comes in the books of hadith. Ya Rasulullah, we will come into Mina with sperm on our private parts. That means that particular 3-4 days, we will be intimate with our wives. And would that impact upon our spirituality? We will come to Mina in such a situation. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there is nothing wrong in that. There is nothing wrong with that. But look at how the Sahaba, their mind went and what type of questions they asked. Ali radiallahu ta'ala came from Yemen because Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had sent him there as a judge. So when he made his ihram, look at the love. He made this niyyah. I'm wearing the same ihram what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is wearing. He didn't know what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is wearing. He just said, I'm wearing the same ihram what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is wearing. When he came into Makkah, he went into the tent of his wife, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, and he saw her that she was out of ihram, she was adorned, she was wearing the normal clothes, and he became angry. And he said, how are you wearing in such a thing that you're out of ihram? Hazrat Fatima said, my father told me to come out of ihram. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala goes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, Fatima is out of ihram. Yes, I told her to be out of ihram. But Ya Rasulullah, I made this particular ihram, that I made this ihram, I'm making the same ihram that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, nothing wrong. So sometimes the people tell us, and I sometimes laugh about it. But Morana, you know, nowadays, there's so much difference of opinion between the ulama. The husband is following one thing, the wife is following something. So what happened? You know, it happened in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What are you making a big thing? As long as there is respect with regard to the matter. So Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala was not in ihram, and Ali radiallahu ta'ala was in ihram because of the situation and the circumstances. On the 8th of Zulhijjah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves for the Hajj. And the first stop is Mina. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performs 5 salats in Mina, which is a sunnah. Now bear in mind, we're finding this amongst the Hujjaj nowadays, that when they do the Hajj, many a times the people feel, no, it's more easier for me to go and, you know, stay in Azizia. I don't have to go and stay in Mina. I don't have to go and stay in Mina. Easier. I got my own particular room there. It's so much easier there. I got a shower there. Here in Mina, I have to perform, you know, be in a camp with so many people. At the end of the day, this is sunnah, and this is the best way. We must try and avoid, you know, discarding the sunnah for unnecessary reasons. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made 5 salats in Mina. Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and the next day, Fajr. And on the night of the eve of the Yawm Arafah, the Surah Wal-Mursalat, the entire Surah of Wal-Mursalat was revealed on that particular night of the 8th of Zulhijjah, between the 8th and the 9th. On the 9th of Zulhijjah, which is a Friday Hajj, which we normally call Akbari Hajj, Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali has made mention that any Hajj in which is on a Friday, it is 70 times more superior. And Allah Ta'ala granted our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that particular situation. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to Arafah. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Arafah, it is mid-morning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rests. After a while, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into, you know, the plains of Arafah. In front of him are 124,000 people. The choicest specimens of humanity. Humanity have not seen, from the time of the inception of time, maybe there hasn't been such a gathering of people at one place, of such a great gathering of people, of such a choicest specimens of humanity. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gets onto his camel Qaswa, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives what we all know as the Hajjatul Wida khutbah, the sermon of Hajjatul Wida. And in that, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasizes certain things. Bear in mind, there were many different talks that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sermons Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave in the Hajj. He gave in Mina after the 10th also. Sometimes we mix the situations. What he had said, we say it is part of the Hajjatul Wida khutbah, whereas necessarily it's not so. The one with regard to Tabligh, ulama have said that was said in Mina. But whatever it is, what we can normally say, we just give the advices that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave In whichever time he gave it, in the Hajjatul Wida, it is full of lessons for us. Whether he gave it at that particular time of Arafah, or whether he gave it afterwards, during the time when he addressed the Sahaba in Mina or in some other time. But of course, in this particular time, there were certain things that Nabi Akram saw and said. He said, oh people, listen to me. Perhaps you will not get a chance to listen to me again. When Nabi Akram saw some said that, everyone's attention was there. This is what is Nabi Akram saw some said us, you will not get an opportunity. Then Nabi Akram saw some address certain things. It is unlawful for you to shed the blood of one another. He made mention and he took specific reference with regard to women. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. Fear Allah with regard to your women folk. فَإِنَّكُمْ أَخَذْتُمُهُنَّ بِأَمَانِ اللَّهِ وَاسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ فُرُوجَهُنَّ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. They have come into a nikah with the command of Almighty Allah, with the word of Almighty Allah. How have they come into nikah? By you, by the Imam saying Allah's words. And after taking Allah's words, making the khutbah, speaking about Allah, then they have come into your nikah. Now when they have come into your nikah with the words of Almighty Allah, fear Allah, take Allah into account how you deal with them. And then of course, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about the very famous aspect of racism. La fadla li arabiyin ala ajamiyin, wa la ajamiyin ala arabiyin. There is no superiority over the Arab, over the non-Arab, or vice versa, or the black over the white, or the white over the black. My dear respected brothers, this is some of the things, the equality of humankind is something that is so fundamental to Islam that many a times people say that when Muslims are accused of racism, they say many a times, no, it's not true. It is false. People are just making this particular aspect of my view on this particular matter. I say even if it is false, for people and adherents of a religion who have grown up and who have come to know about racism from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam long before it became trendy to be spoken about in the world forums. It was from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we heard the equality of mankind first before it became trendy in the political forums of the world. We heard it from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For us even to be accused wrongly of racism is a tragedy. How can we be accused of racism when our entire religion had come and the farewell sermon of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had come to eradicate this racism? And you know what racism is? Something very important, let me make mention with regard to it. That when a person regards himself superior to another on the basis of the color of his skin, in actual words, what he is saying is that he says that Allah has made a creative mistake, a mistake in his creation. When you say that one particular race is bad, or one particular color of skin people are bad, what you are saying, Allah has made a mistake in his creation. How dare you make such an accusation? How dare you make such an accusation? When people regard people as superior on the basis of the color of their skin, they are attributing a fault in the creative power of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also made mention of other things. And one of the things that he made mention was so amazing. He said, Shaitan has become despondent of you ever worshipping anyone else besides Allah, or worshipping Shaitan, or worshipping idols. Shaitan knows that he will not get Muslims to worship idols. But what he will do is tahrish bainahum. He will make you fight now. He will make you fight. He has become despondent of you worshipping idols. But then what he has done, he has used all his energies in making you fight. And how successful Shaitan is. Exactly how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he has become despondent with regard to you worshipping him or worshipping idols. But what he has done is tahrish bainahum. He has made you fight. And anyone who allows this fighting and disputes to be in this ummah is actually fulfilling Shaitan's plan. Brothers, I make one appeal. Many times people say, look at how Muslims are fighting, how ulama are fighting, this one is fighting, that one is fighting. But whoever is doing it, you do not become part of the fight. You ask yourself, I must not be the one to add to the fight. And every time I send out a post which is negative, which speaks bad about someone, which is negative, I am becoming part of that which is Shaitan's plan, which Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had told us in Hajjatul Wida. So this is something that we have to keep in mind. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about various things. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, either in this particular sermon or other time, he said, you know, Ala falyuballighu ash-shahid minkum al-ghaib, those who are present must take my particular message to those who are not present. And that is the reason why the Sahaba, over 124,000 of them, very few remained in Hijaz, 10,000 or so. Otherwise, all of them went to different parts of the world to go and proclaim and propagate the message of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the message of Islam. Because of what Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told them, that those who are present, take my message and go and give it to those who are absent. Brothers, we've got this responsibility. Somehow or the other, one of the harms of fighting between people is you can't progress. Now, we say we are 350 years in South Africa, and for 350 years, we are quite satisfied by saying we are still 2% of the population. It's something for us to think about. For 350 years, you are here, and you still say we are 1% and 2% of the population. And we say, and we tell people, and we make mention of it, Islam is the solution to all the problems of mankind. But we have not been able to share those solutions to anyone. So what are we talking about? So we talk about beautiful slogan here. Beautiful aspects is the solution. But where is the solution? Where are you showing it to people? Where are you showing it in your own life? Where are you showing it in the life of your community? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ Sahaba went from that particular place and they went. You'll find the cousin of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried in Samarkand. In Bukhara, Samarkand in Uzbekistan. I had the opportunity 2 years ago to go and visit the Qabr of Kuthum bin Abbas, the cousin of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was, according to one riwayat, the last person to be with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his Qabr. And where is he buried? In far away Uzbekistan. Can you imagine how many thousands of kilometers away? So we have this responsibility. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you would be asked about me on the day of Qiyamah. You would be asked about me on the day of Qiyamah. Did I fulfill my message or not? Did I propagate the message of Almighty Allah? What will you reply? And all of them, 124,000 people, all of them said, Ya Rasulullah, inni kad ballaghta ar-risala wa addayta al-amana wa nasahta al-ummah. O Prophet of Almighty Allah, you have fulfilled your responsibility of propagating the message of Allah. Wa qad addayta al-amana. And the amana that Allah had placed upon you, you have fulfilled that. And you have given the best of advice to this ummah. And you have strove in the best of possible manners in the path of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard what they had said. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took this particular finger of his, the shahadat finger. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then lifted it up towards the heaven and said, Allahumma shahad, awallah bear testimony. Awallah bear testimony. What the people have said, I have fulfilled my responsibility. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this particular address. Some of the aspects that I have made mention. Thereafter, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Zuhar and Asr together in Jama. And then it comes for several hours. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his camel making dua. And who was the dua for this ummah? And the ulama said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you could see the sahaba said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely restless, going from one side to the camel from the other side. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this so the people could see what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is doing. And for several hours, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Brothers, I always tell people, the one for whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for is never worthless. He is full of value. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for each and every ummati. Each and every ummati is valuable because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried for every ummati on the plains of Arafah. For the one for whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried, he is never worthless. He is full of value. So in this particular way, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in. And then just after Asr, Allah Ta'ala revealed the very famous verse which I read in the khutbah. Al-yawm akmaltu lakum deenakum. Today I have completed religion. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. I have completed my favors. And have completed my favors upon you. And I am pleased with Islam as a religion for you. This was revealed on after Asr on the day of Arafah. Ulama have made mention. After this, there were other verses that were revealed. But there were no verses pertaining to commands. The last verse, ulama have said, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرُجَّعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ in the third surah of the Holy Quran. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ was also revealed round upon at the time of Hajjatul Wida. Nevertheless, this ayat was revealed. Some Jewish person one day came and tell Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Umar, you have a verse in the Holy Quran, if that verse was revealed to us, we would have made Eid on that day. So Umar said, which verse? He said, this verse. He said, it was Eid. Don't you see which day it was revealed? It was revealed firstly on the day of Arafah, the most significant day in our calendar. Then on the day of Friday, the most significant day in our week. Then on Friday after Asr, the most significant time of Friday. It was Eid upon Eid upon Eid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then after Arafat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moves to Muzdalifah. What a beautiful example with regard to Muzdalifah. What a lesson of submission we learn. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Arafat at the time of Maghrib. So Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what about Maghrib? What must we do about Maghrib? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Maghrib is in front. Maghrib is in front. Now, you see, what do we do? Do we carry on? Again, finish up in 10 minutes. Do we carry on with this? So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going towards Muzdalifah, then, now you can just think about this, brothers. Anyone who is pious and who wants to read Salat on time, and he's in the habit of reading Salat on time, he would think that on the day of Arafat, surely I must read Salat on time. Even if other days I don't read Salat on time, on the most significant day of the calendar, one of the most significant days of the calendar, I must read Namaz on time. But there, if you read Namaz on time, you are going against the commands of Allah. Amazing. So what is deen? Deen is not only doing what you feel is good. Deen is doing what Allah tells you to do. When Allah tells you to read Namaz on time, that is deen. And when Allah Ta'ala tells you that today you're not going to read Namaz on time, that is deen. So that particular day we don't read, especially the Hujjaj don't read Namaz on time. They go and read Maghrib in Muzdalifah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to Muzdalifah and he reads Maghrib and Isha. He reads Maghrib at the time of Isha in Muzdalifah. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spends his time in Muzdalifah. In Muzdalifah there is an amazing thing. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slept part of the night. And the reason why he slept is people were very tired. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the strength, he could have stayed awake the whole night. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried about the Ummah. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slept. So the Ummah could see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sleeping. And they should not feel any guilt if they are tired for you to go and sleep. And to make it further ease, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized the crowd. Now 124,000, nowadays you get 1-2 million. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam send the woman, and therefore from this particular aspect there is some gunjayish and accommodation, send the woman not to sleep in Muzdalifah, and he sent them to Mina. And saying, tomorrow there will be great amount of crowd, you go and sleep in Mina. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so concerned about the ease of the Ummah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent his time in Muzdalifah. The next time, the next morning, he make wukuf. And then he moved from Muzdalifah to Mina. And on that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had several situations. You know, there's so many things that come to mind, but I'm going to have to cut it down. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had several people who joined him in his camel. Sometimes it was Usama bin Zayd, sometimes it was Fazal bin Abbas. Between Muzdalifah and Mina, Fazal bin Abbas was behind Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fazal bin Abbas, the cousin of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, young Sahabi. A woman comes to ask Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a question. And she comes and asks about, Ya Rasulullah, my father is very old, he's very, you know, he cannot do anything. Can I make certain rites of Hajj for him? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives her the reply, if your father had a debt, would you have repaid the debt? Yes, Ya Rasulullah. So if he had certain things that he has to do from the religious point of view, do it. Fazal bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala's gaze, perhaps whatever reason, goes towards the woman. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns the gaze of Fazal bin Abbas away from the woman and said, Fazal, this is not the time for you to gaze. He didn't do it. Perhaps it was in a way that was maybe incidentally, accidentally. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his face away. He said, Fazal, don't do this. I read in Hayat al-Sahaba, there was a very amazing, incident. They said the people of Yemen, was it Yemen or somewhere, they became murtad, some of them, after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time and death. And in Hayat al-Sahaba, mention is made that one of the stops of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Usama bin Zayd, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Usama bin Zayd to sit behind his camel. So Usama bin Zayd got a little bit late to come to the camel. So when he came towards the camel, he was late. So the people of that region, they said, did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wait for this person? They looked down upon Usama bin Zayd. Ulama said because of them looking down upon Usama, they got involved in Irtidad after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time. They looked down upon Usama bin Zayd. Ayatul Sahaba makes mention that because of that, they were involved in Irtidad by looking down upon a person. Nevertheless, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continues in this particular way. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed Wadi Muhassar, is a place where the Abraha was destroyed. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rushes through that saying, at a place wherever Allah Ta'ala's azab come, you mustn't stay a lot there, you must go fast through there. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then made the different aspects with regard to the pelting for the 3 days. And in the shaving, there was a sahabi by the name of Muhammad bin Abdullah Adwa, who had the good fortune of shaving the hair of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sahaba, there are certain Sahaba who are known, mention is made of them in the books of Hadith, that they gathered the hair of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they kept it. So whenever you see the hair of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in different parts of the world, in the Topkapi Museum for example, it is perhaps from these Sahaba Ikram who had gathered the hair of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also slaughtered 100 camels, 63 for every year of his life and 37 for the ummah of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ali was among those who had slaughtered much of the camel after Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had slaughtered some of it. So in that particular time, when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Mina, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day alerted the Sahaba with regard to something. And he said, oh Sahaba, what city is this? Sahaba said, Allahu Rasulu Alam. Nabi, obviously they knew, but now they said, what is Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam trying to tell us? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is it not the city of Makkah? Is it not the Balad-e-Haram? He said, Ya Rasulullah, it is. What month is it? Allah and His Rasul knows best. Is it not the month of Zulhijjah? Yes, Ya Rasulullah, it is a sacred month of Zulhijjah. What date it is? Is it not Yawm al-Nahr? It is not the day when you are slaughtering? Yes, Ya Rasulullah, it is that day. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, remember the honor and the sanctity of a believer, the blood, the honor and the wealth of the believer is as sacred, if not more sacred, than this city of Makkah, this month of Zulhijjah, and the day of Yawm al-Nahr. Brothers, I ask you the question, and I won't ask you for an answer. Do we regard the honor and the sanctity of a Muslim brotherhood equivalent to the city of Makkah, to this month of Zulhijjah, the day of Yawm al-Nahr? I leave it to your conscience to answer that. How many times do we make backbiting? How many times do we look down upon people? How many times do we form judgments? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us in that particular Hajjatul Wida, the honor of a believer is even more greater than the city of Makkah, more greater than the sacredness of the month of Zulhijjah, and more greater than the day of Yawm al-Nahr. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam completes the Hajj, and then on the 13th of Zulhijjah, now, we normally finish by the 12th. By Maghrib, everyone is rushing out of Mina. Now, alhamdulillah, I see when people do go for Hajj, many of them stay. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stayed on the 13th of Zulhijjah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, thereafter, on the 13th afternoon, evening, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes the Tawaf al-Wida. And on the 14th of Zulhijjah, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam leaves Makkah al-Mukarramah to go back to Medina. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stayed his entire Hajjatul Wida, Hajj, for 10 days. 10 days Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stayed for his Hajj. Right? So on the 14th when he left, he stopped at a place called Ghadir-e-Khum. And I must make mention with regard to it, because there is a distortion of history with regard to the Ghadir-e-Khum. Certain people from Yemen made false accusations against Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about the virtue of Ali radiallahu ta'ala an in Ghadir-e-Khum. And he spoke very glowingly about the virtue of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. The Shias distort this by saying that in Ghadir-e-Khum, that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made him the Khalifa and appointed him the Khalifa, and the Sahaba went against the instructions of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is a complete distortion of history. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did speak about the virtue of Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and we must keep this in mind. We as Ahl-e-Sunnat wal-Jamaat, On one hand, we have the love of the Sahaba. On one hand, we have the love of the Ahlul Bayt. We do not take choices, or we don't feel it as a contradiction. We keep on one hand the love of the Sahaba, and on one hand we have the love of the Ahlul Bayt. That is a person who is Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches that, and on his way back, Bidaya wa Nihaya says, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Zamzam water back. So this particular aspect of waiting there in O.R. Tambo for your Zamzam water is part also of the Sunnah. Bidaya wa Nihaya says, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Zamzam water back to Madinah Munawwarah. On his way back, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Uhud, the very famous statement that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it was when he came back from Hajjatul Wida. This is a mountain that loves us and we love this mountain. This was on his way back from Hajjatul Wida. And one more last thing I would say, Umm Ma'kal radiallahu ta'ala anha comes to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I could not join you in this journey. I could not join you in this journey. I have a regret that I could not join you in this journey. Is there a way for me to make up this particular way that I could not join you for this Mubarak and most blessed and significant journey? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umm Ma'kal, make Umrah in Ramadan. It will be equivalent to making Hajj with me. Umm Ma'kal, make Umrah in Ramadan. It will be equivalent to making Hajj with me. These were few aspects with regard to Hajjatul Wida. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyana wa mulana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبنا ورحمتك أرجى إننا من أعمالنا اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرطا وحوضه لنا موهلا اللهم اشرنا في زمرته واستعملنا بسنته وتوفنا على ملته وجعلنا من حزبه رضينا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيه ورسوله سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله